Well, we do thank the Lord that you're here, and whatever snow moving you did this morning, we thank you for getting through it. So Marty said, "Oh, our neighbor, he moved some of our snow in our driveway," and it caught me by surprise. I was thankful for that. So anyway, let's ask God to bless our time. Father, we do thank you that we have a warm place to be. Thank you that we have the privilege to connect together. Thank you that in Christ we are united in him. We're all so different, but we thank you that in him we're together. We just pray that we might be a people who are growing, a people that are maturing, a people that are growing in our love and our care. We just pray that you will help us become more and more like the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray if there's anyone here who's never trusted Christ, that this might be a day that they will put their faith in him alone for their salvation. Father, we just pray. We know we need you every hour, and we need you right now. And we just entrust ourselves to you and just ask your Spirit that he will work and accomplish what you want to do in our individual lives right now. In Christ's name, amen. As I get older, I was talking to someone just yesterday. You think, oh, you're kind of staying the same, right? And then you realize that's not the way it really is. Things are changing, and you go through your journey. And the further along I get, the more I realize that there's a lot of unknowns as you're starting in life and going through life. And you're going down a path, and all of a sudden something catches you. And I remember it just reminded me of one time my dad was moving. We were moving irrigation pipe, and it was about 40 feet long. And we didn't really have quite the right trailer for this pipe. It wasn't designed right, but it was what we had. And so the pipe was sticking way out beyond the trailer. And Dad was in the truck. Well, we were going down the road, and we could tell the thing was just, it was just, it was lifting the back of the truck up, the pickup truck. And so you had this adventure going on. Well, Dad knew that it wasn't working quite right, so he had my brother and I, who were just little dudes at that point. He says, "Okay, I want you to sit in the back of the truck and put a little more weight there, like sacrificing your son." But anyway, we're sitting as heavy as we can. We're just little guys, and so we're going down the road, and as long it wasn't going too bad. It was a gravel road. That would made it a little worse. But anyway, we're going down the gravel road. But then we'd been down this road 100 times, but I never saw the bridge like I saw it that day. And I'm looking, and we're going down this hill. And of course, this is a really old bridge and had cement sides on both sides. And anyway, going down the road, and you thought your dad loved you until this day. And so we're going down the road, and as we are going down the hill, the thing starts swinging more and more crazy. And I'm thinking, oh, I should have paid more attention in swimming class. Because I thought, we're going to go over here, just that going back and forth. And I don't think Dad ever apologized for that. But anyway, you think, it was supposed to be a nice day. Now, the Lord did, we did survive, as you might notice. But we did survive, but not without losing several years off my life, I'm sure. You think, but you're going through life, and you think, oh, this is great. Everything's working. Oh, man, this is wonderful, right? We were just talking to a young couple. They just haven't been married too long. I won't point to them. But anyway, but you think, you get married, and you say, yes! Life is, it's going to be Cinderella, and you're going to have a gold carriage, and all of a sudden it turns into a pumpkin, right? You think things are just not like I had. I was talking to Morgan, who was a dear, dear brother, right? I said to him, I asked him the question, and of course, probably some of you know, some of you don't, his wife early on had developed MS. And I said, I was just trying to figure out how long they'd been married. They weren't married that long before she was diagnosed. So here you think, man, that's going to be perfect. And then all of a sudden, you've got this whole new dimension in your life that you never counted on, you never planned on. Now the question that I have is, do you have what it takes to finish your journey well? Do you have what it takes? Do I have what it takes? Because you don't know. You don't know what's coming down, right? What's going to be around the corner? You don't know. Now, obviously, we pray for one another. We want it to be a great journey for each one of us. But we all have those sharp turns and those deep ditches. And we all have those crossing points. And we think, whoa, do I have what it takes here? Now, let me ask another question, a follow-up on that. Do you know what you have to travel well? Our little granddaughter was at our house on Wednesday, and after time out, they got one of these, you know, they got some stuff at the fast food place, and so they bring home and you have these little toys, right? So you have a little toy, and so I was helping her put this little toy together, and so I thought, you know, I knew there was these two things you're supposed to have, but I said to him, there were no two things, right? And I thought to myself, how dare they? They gave this toy and they shortchanged us on these two little things that's supposed to make the whole thing work, right? And my granddaughter turned it over and she says, Papa, they're right there. Oh, you have to be humble to be a papa, right? But anyway. And sure enough, we had everything we needed, but I didn't know what we had. And sometimes that's life for the Christian. You know what? God has not shortchanged us. We have what we need, but we need to know what we have. I'd like you to go, as we were thinking about, and I was thinking about what we did yesterday. All these hand signals, right? If you didn't walk through the Bible, you missed. Remember the Samson one, dear? Yeah. Anyway, the Samson deal, right? But anyway, that's the only one I can remember. But anyway, you think, okay, so we're going through, and I was thinking, walk through the Bible. And it's a really valuable, you know, walk through the Bible. But you know what? The Bible needs to be lived through us as well. So let's go. I want, and in view of that, and then Lord just kind of kept me bringing back. I made a little change up for today. I want to go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And I want to go and reflect on, in Colossians 3, I want to reflect on this verse in preparing us to know what we have as Christians. Now, if you've never come to Christ, let me just say this. I want to say this as kindly as I can, but I want to be honest. If you're not a Christian, you don't have what you need. You may have you may be exceedingly intelligent. You may know how to make lots of money. You may know how to get a great job. You may make a lot of, you know, outstanding choices, but ultimately you don't have what you need. You need, first of all, a Savior. Christ died for you. He loves you. He rose from the dead. He will save you if you will trust in Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I love that verse. But so we invite you, trust Christ. He will forgive you of your sins. He will give you life and He will give you what you need to live through your journey. But we have to know what we have. Now let's just think of this verse. In Colossians 3:16, I've been to this many times, I'm sure you have, but I want to remind myself as well. Let the word of Christ, Colossians 3:16, right now I'm reading out of the New King James, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly. Let the word of Christ, the logos, you know, we use that phrase. It's a Greek word, logos, for word. Logos. the word of Christ. Let the word of Christ. Now, where will we find that? Well, obviously, a no-brainer, but it's God's book, God's logos. Thy word is truth. God's word. Now, you know, it's amazing in our world how we've basically abandoned this book. You know, I mean, you have to realize, and I'm sure you do, but Satan hates this book. And he hates us. And he does not want us to know the truth. He does not want us to know the truth. He's the deceiver. He's the deceiver. Well, if you're a deceiver, you've got to keep people away from truth. And so Satan, one of his goals is to keep people away from truth and to make fun of this book. I mean, there's different ways, you know, you have theologians of the past who were not Christians who said, oh, you know, this is a bunch of myths. You know, and they come up with all kinds of, they try to attack the historicity of it. And archaeology keeps unfolding reasons why this book is true to support the truth of this book. So, you know, history, archaeology, Christ himself is reason to believe this book. You don't have to be embarrassed to believe the Bible because it's true. Let the word, interesting, isn't it? Let the word of Christ, you know, this book centers on the person of the Lord Jesus. In the Old Testament, the very beginning, remember when Adam and Eve fell and they sinned? There was a promise. There's a promise. There's one coming. There's one coming. And you walk all the way through. And then in the Old Testament, it talks of the Messiah that's coming. And the Israeli, the Jewish people know that Messiah is coming. Now, many of them rejected the Messiah when he did come. But still, the Messiah came. And then, you know what? Isn't it awesome? He's coming back. This is not all that positive of a world, right? And you think, man, you think what's going on in China with the disease and, you know, thinking about how it's spreading and how people are infected, and you think, oh, man, I don't know if I want to fly on an airplane and all of this and be exposed to that. And then we think of wars and we think of all the animosity. We just think this world is whacked out. But you know what? The Lord Jesus, he's coming. And if you know him as your Savior, you're secure. You're set. And he's coming, not only coming to deal with a mess, he's coming for us. And he's going to take us to be with him forever. We have so got it made. But you know what? We have to go through a wicked world that's wobbly and dangerous, scary. We have to go through it. But you know what? He's not just waiting for us on the other end. He is for us right now. He's with us. He's in us to carry us in our journey. It's so awesome. So let the word of Christ, we need to be close to him and stay tight with him. You know, again, you know, you think when, and I see some of the young couples and young families with their little ones, and when the little one's just holding on to mom or dad, right? That gives them security. The little one has security. Of course, mom and dad, usually, if they're not crying, they kind of enjoy that too, right? But we want to be close. We need to understand that we can enjoy Christ. You know, some people get saved and they almost forget that they have a Savior. They don't enjoy the walk. They don't enjoy the ride. They don't enjoy the intimacy. And we are called, let the word of Christ, the word that focuses on Christ, the word that talks about Christ, the word that tells us what we have and what we need. Let the word of Christ He's the center point of not only should be of our personal lives, but of the universe. When this thing's all wrapped up, he's the center point. The Word reveals Christ. You know, in Colossians, is all about the Lord Jesus. In Colossians 1:28, Paul says, we proclaim him. We proclaim him. It's all about him. Who he is. Colossians, one of the reasons I love the book, it's about the all-sufficient Christ. How he's totally adequate for our needs. How he's everything we need. You know, it's interesting. It is a walk in relationship. You know, again, one of the things that has tripped up some dear Christians is just a kind of a, you know, get information. And you know, we need information. We need truth. But the truth is to draw us into an intimate relationship with the one who the truth is all about. Remember what Paul said in Philippians 3, that I may know him. That I may know him. It's not just, you know, I was talking about this the other day. I remember in seminary, you had some guys that were really, really, you know, just over the top in their intelligence. Amazing, some of these guys. And some of them, you know, they really had a tight relationship. But it was easy sometimes, especially when you're, let's say you're in Bible class, it's easy to get caught up in the info. And just, the, you know, I got to remember this date. I got to remember this situation. I got to remember this book. And all of those things. And lose the intimacy of the relationship with the Lord Jesus. We want to know his word so we can know him. That I may know him in intimacy. That we may have fellowship with him. We have intimate communion with him. That we're not walking alone. Because we know who he is and we believe who he is and we're walking tight with him. You know, we need to understand him, though, through his book. And Colossians tells us about him. In Colossians chapter 2, it says this, and I'll read and just break it into a sentence here, but that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. That is Christ himself. True knowledge. And the word true knowledge there, it has that sense, not only grasping the academic facet of it, but having an intimate relationship because of it. And so, it's all about the Lord Jesus. It's all about him. And in verse 7 of the same chapter, chapter 2, it says, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, being built up in him and established in your faith. We need truth so we can exercise faith. We believe the truth, but we have to know the truth. And the truth centers in Christ. Built up in him. Now, you know, I just think that's a challenge for all of us. You know, in our world, there's all kinds of, you know, anytime there's truth and reality, there's always attack on it. You know, one of the attacks is that people want to have an emotional experience, but they don't have any truth. There are people who are in a church building and they want to have emotional feelings, which we are made with emotional feelings. That's not a bad thing. But emotional feelings need to be based on genuine truth. And so that's why we need the Word. So that if we have the Word, we can then know the truth, and then we can have faith in the truth. We can believe what we can't see, but we know it's true. And that gives us basis for relationship. That's the heartbeat of our relationship. We know who he is, and we know what he's about, and we trust him for all that we need, because he's all that we need. But we need to know him. Let the word of Christ dwell. That's an interesting little word. It's what's we would call present imperative, a command. And the present idea is an ongoing responsibility to keep this command. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Dwell. It's like if someone comes and they stay at your house. Now, we had some people that stayed at our house this weekend. We're kicking them out, but they stayed at our house, right? And so, anyway, they come and dwell in our house. But see, a lot of times we think, well, I'm a Christian. Well, Christ, you know, he came, and then now we don't know where he's at. But no, we let the word dwell, stay. Let the word stay. Let it be a part. Let it be something that lives with us permanently. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, have residence with you. And that's why we have to keep seeking this. This in Colossians, again, that all ties together, but in Colossians verse 1, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, because that's where we're in a new position, a new reality, spiritual reality, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Keep seeking. We don't know it all. You know, it's interesting, you know, someone, let's say they're really intelligent, and they go on and they get a doctorate, and they've learned so much that their brain just whoa, and they've got the credentials and all of that. But you know what? A person, even a very, very intelligent person, if they're really wise, they keep learning the rest of their life. You don't just say, "Well, I got a big degree." No, and we learn something. Like we say, we walk through the Bible and we got some really good info. You build on that. You don't just stop with that. So keep seeking. Come back to God's truth to get the picture and get it cleared. You know, a lot of times it's like looking at something, and you're looking through the fog, and you're trying to see, and you know you're not seeing it clear. You know there's something there, but you can't quite make it out. But you keep looking, and then if the fog clears a little bit, then you have a better idea. But you're trying to focus. And God says, focus. Keep seeing the things above. Focus in on what is true for you in Christ. We need the Word. The Word has to be a part of our life. The godly C.H. McIntosh wrote years ago, we must go to Scripture as a thirsty man goes to a well, as a hungry man goes to a meal, as a mariner goes to a chart. We must go to it because we cannot do without it. Now, you think just think, if you came to this book the way you came to a meal, now, I don't know how your breakfast was or what dinner looks like, but let's just say we were going to put you on the same schedule for eating food compared to how you're in the book. You know what? We might all look like we're dieting, right? Man, I lost a lot of weight. Sometimes Christians, all of us, we're not in the book much. And so we're not taking it in. God says, you need my book because you need my truth. Everything I need, I have in Christ. I was thinking about this passage earlier. In Colossians 2, I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him, Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. He's God. All the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him, in Christ, you, Christians, have been made complete. Now that, what we theologically say that is we're complete. It's a positional reality from God's standpoint. We don't necessarily, we can't see it, we don't totally understand it, we don't get it all, but we are complete. You know what that says? If we are complete, we have everything we need for our journey. Now, we don't know what our journey holds. Some of it's going to be joyful, some of it's going to be exhausting, some of it's going to be frightening. But you know, whatever your journey holds, you are complete. You have what you need. Now, we may not know. It's just like when that little thing I was putting together with my granddaughter. I didn't know I had all the pieces. And sometimes we don't know what pieces we need, you know, what pieces we have and what pieces we need in this situation. Like, you know, say, well, oh man, I don't know what decision to make in this at this point in time. Well, you know what? In Christ, we can draw on His wisdom. He may not show it immediately, but we have the wisdom to draw on it. And at the time we have to make that choice, He will provide it. Because we are complete in Him. He is all that we need, but I need to know what I have in Him. And so how do I do that? I have to be in His book. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the Word of Christ. Theodore Epp said, "The Word is so important that I believe it can accurately be said that all who have ever accomplished great things as far as God is concerned have been people of His book." And again he wrote, "Everything in the Christian life is in one way or another associated with the Word of God." That is why Satan battles us so much concerning our being in the Word. Satan realizes the Word is the basis for spiritual victory, so he can most easily defeat us by keeping us out of God's book. We need the book. And notice what it says in our passage, again in our passage in 3:10. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Rich, not just dwell. But richly dwell, extravagantly dwell, as one puts it. Let it dwell in us. It's like, you know, Marty and I were looking out the window last night, and I know this is not totally popular, but saw the snow coming down, right? Now, I love snow, as the song, "You let it snow as long as it don't have anywhere to go," right? But I was looking at it, and I thought, man, this is like a beautiful picture. Just air, the snowflakes were coming down. Just beautiful, and you're looking at it. But just think of places that you've been. Think of maybe scenes you've seen. Maybe you went to the coast, and you saw the ocean. It was just a beautiful. Maybe you saw a sunset. I remember one time, years and years ago, elder friend and I went to visit a couple, and they lived out on the East Coast and of Nova Scotia. It had this beautiful house. I was overwhelmed, really. It was just a beautiful house. I'd never been there before. We drove there. And then we went into their house, and they had this beautiful picture window, and you could look out across and see the ocean. And you know what? I could have just sat there in awe. It was just so beautiful. Just looking at it. And I'm sure every day, and when they would have a sunrise, I'm sure it was gorgeous. But you see, when you look, some of these, you just look at it, there's always a new view of the beauty. Let it dwell in you richly. Just sit there and look. Just sit there and take it in. And we're to do that with God's Word. Just sit there and take it in. Let God's Word be a part of the way you think, of the way you respond in life. Going through knowing that Christ is all I need, but I'm learning what I have. I'm letting His Word dwell in me extravagantly. Years ago in being in seminary, they hired two psychiatrists, and they had their practice in Dallas, but they also, then they would do some part-time teaching. But both these men were godly dudes, Christian men, and one of the men, Dr. Meyer, wrote a little book, a booklet, Meditating for Success. It was just a little brochure almost. But he had done study, and I'm sure with some of the seminary students, and he evaluated seminary students in kind of three levels. Those who were excellent in their mental health, those who were normal, most of us, and those who were struggling. And you know, if you're a Christian, we all have struggled, right? So he was looking at these kind of categories, and here were some of his evaluations after he did study. And remember, these are all professing Christians that he had studied, these seminary students, all guys, gals who want to go on for the Lord, doing their studies, reading their Bible, you know, in classes and all of this stuff. But he said this. These were several of his observations. Even though trusting Christ is all we need to obtain eternal life, experiencing the abundant life in Christ requires that we spend time in God's book. Now, he said, you know, and we all know we can get caught up as Christians. We can get caught up with wrong attitudes. Maybe someone has done you dirty, and so you're going through life and you're just angry. Maybe you had terrible experiences when you were a child, and you just can't forgive. You can't let go. And so it's just dragging. It's like a drag thing in your life, and you're not dealing with that. Well, we're struggling. We just to be a Christian doesn't mean we automatically are going to have a great experience, abundant life. God wants us to, but it doesn't mean it's an automatic. And then Dr. Meyer went on to say, renewing the mind is a continual process requiring continual input from God's Word. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you know what? That's in Romans 12. There's a long journey to get to Romans 12, and it's still not over. And then he gives us more input, more truth. We need truth. Transform the mind. Don't be changed by the world. Be transformed. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't buy into the lies of the world. Set your mind on things above. Then Dr. Meyer said this. Daily meditation on Scripture is the most effective means of obtaining joy, peace, and maturity. It's just part of life. You know, where you set your mind is where your life travels. And then he said this observation. It takes about 3 years of daily scripture meditation to bring about enough change in a person's thought patterns and behavior to produce good mental health. And you know what? I think that's one of the things we get snagged on is because we want just an instant fix. I mean, not all of us like instant fixes, right? I read my Bible this morning. My life should be turned over, changed, and great. But it's not. It's a process. We have a sin nature, and it constantly can drag us down. We have an enemy, the evil one. We live in a world system that's all whacked out. It takes time to be transformed, but we have to be consistent. We have to, you know what? The only way you can be consistent is realizing, apart from God's power, I can't do this. Just realize, Satan does not want you in this book, and it's not easy to spend time with God in his book. Just realize it. It's going to be a battle. But by God's power, it says, walk by the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In the power of the Spirit, we can say, no, I'm going to cut that out. I'm going to spend some time. I'm just going to take some time with God and his book and just allow it to permeate my life. That's what God wants to spend time with us through his word. But we have to make some choices. We can't allow the world and all the other pressures, and there are many, many pressures. I think, a family has little kids. There's all kinds of pressures there, all kinds of distractions. And then as we get older, it's like, where did I put my Bible, right? You're trying to find stuff, right? Or whatever it is. But there's all kinds of pressures that keep us away from God's book. That's by design from the evil one. Don't let that ruin your life. God says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, part of just by hearing. Just what you do. You know, we come to the book, we hear. We hear others instruct and teach and give their insights. And then we just read it. Again, Theodore Epp said, "In my devotional time each day, I read until I gain something for my soul. Sometimes I read several chapters. Other times I read only one verse because the content in it so meets my need for the day that I spend my time meditating only on that verse." So, you know, and we're all different, and I find different years, I kind of approach the scripture in different ways. You know, what am I going to read? How far am I going to read? You know, as Leon has a chart where you can read through the Bible in a year, that might be what God has for you this year. Everett has and our website where you can listen to the Bible. But allowing God's book to permeate our lives so we will know what we have and know how to live and live well. Reading it, studying it, you know, really thinking. You know, if there's, you know, in trying to study the Bible, talk about observation, interpretation, application. But the observation is just observing what's in there. And then context is so critical. If you never had any other principle in Bible study, read the context. Read the verses before, read the verses after, and think about what is being said here. Don't just pull out one word or pull out one verse. Think of the context. But pondering. If a word's repeated, you know, that means something's important. So you're just thinking, let it absorb in. Learn to study the word, depending on the Spirit to open our eyes. And then just memorizing. You know, now I know, boy, most people choke on memorizing, right? I did that in the third grade, and I promised never to go back there again, right? You think, but I asked David if I could share this, David and Glenda, but I got in their car yesterday, and they're both doing this Hebrew course. Now, if you want to learn Hebrew, just talk to David and Glenda. But anyway, they're doing this Hebrew, and they got all these words, right? And they're flashcards. And so, you know, you want a shalom, you know, shalom, or whatever. Look at the flashcards, right? And so why are they doing that? They're trying to take it in. So you remember it. And there are certain verses that you need to memorize because, you know, let's say you're reading through and this verse really touches your life. Just absorb it. Maybe not even the whole verse. You know, I've talked sometimes working with a young Christian and maybe a person that, you know, school was hard and they just didn't do well. Just memorize a phrase. You don't have to memorize a whole chapter. But allow truth to permeate your life. So when you're walking, you know, you're walking down the street, this verse comes to your mind. You think, oh, yeah, thank you, God. I needed that right now. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thy understanding. In all the ways of knowledge, he shall direct thy paths. Thank you, God. I needed that today. Thank you. And so we memorize God's word. We memorize it, and then we just ponder it. We just like sitting at that window. You know, when I was looking across the Atlantic Ocean, you're looking across all the beauty, amazing, all the waves, and you're just trying to take it in, just take it in. And you go to the Word of God, and you just allow it to permeate your thoughts. You see, we need to set our mind on things above. We need to ponder the Lord Jesus. I was thinking about this passage. I just finished reading through Joshua, and this is at the front end of Joshua. This is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. This was given to Joshua. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Now, it's not necessarily you're going to be a millionaire, but whatever God calls you to do, you will be successful at what he calls you to do if you allow the Word of God to permeate your life. Meditate on it day and night. And you know, what I was thinking about, when I got to the end of Joshua, of the book, this is at the front end, the entry door into Joshua, the book of Joshua, you get to the end and you see how God used Joshua to the very end of his life. And you know what? Joshua was successful. Joshua accomplished largely what God gave him to do. And it was not easy. But you know what? This verse had to be in his thoughts. He had to practice this. To be successful on the end, he had to meditate on the beginning. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Meditate on His Word day and night. Allow it to permeate our thinking. You know what? Apart from God's Word, we're not going to walk wisely in the world. We're not going to. And that's where this passage, look at this passage just in our Colossians, just before we close here. Look at this again. We just read, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. With all wisdom. You know, going through this world is one wacky walk, right? And we need wisdom. Do you remember I don't remember the name of the show, but the guy, he was a high walker, and where was it? Anyway, I saw this when we were with our kids out in Alaska, and anyway, he wasn't supposed to do this, but he got this line across these two huge, tall buildings, and he wasn't supposed to do it. It was illegal to do it, but he was determined to do it, and anyway, he gets on, you know, and he goes, this is not good for me because I can't keep my balance hardly at all. Anyway, he's going like this, and he goes all the way across, and then he comes back, right, and then they arrest him. But anyway, that was like, you think, whoa! That's the way trying to walk through this world is like, whoa, man, what am I going to do this? What decision I got to make? And you're going, but God's Word gives us God's wisdom so we can walk well through this world. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. So we'll have the wisdom. I'd like you to just, we're going to go to a hymn. I want us to go to a hymn, and we're going to sing as we close. And it's on 441, and I think we'll have it on projection. This is a little bit different than probably you sang it. But I want to just share with you. Look here. Take time, and the way the hymn goes, be holy. That's the way the hymn is. Dr. Schaefer, Lewis Berry Schaefer, who was the founder and president of Dallas Seminary, sang this hymn in this way. Take time to behold Him. Speak oft with the Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His Word. We're going to just adjust it. We're going to stand. We're going to sing this through. Take time to behold Him. Let's stand. Take time to behold Him, speak off with thy Lord, abide in Him always, and feed on His Word. Make friends with God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing His blessings to see. Take time to behold Him, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Take time to behold Him, let Him be thy guide. And run not before Him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in His Word. Take time to behold Him, be come in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control, thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. God, we thank you that in Jesus we have all that we need to travel the road that we have before us. But we pray that by your grace and through your Spirit, we will learn of what we have in him through his word. Father, we pray that we individually will allow the word of God, the word of Christ, to dwell in us richly. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.